Hey, it's Daryl C. Murphy, and I just want to talk to you real quick. The Common is produced at WBUR in Boston. We're public media. We don't have paywalls, which means we don't ask you to pay to see our work. We say, here's some powerful stories for free. And then, if some of those stories you read or listen to are important to you, and you talk about it with your friends and family, and you even see the world a little differently, then we ask you to support it, because we want to continue making work that is meaningful to you. And right now, I want to let you know what's happening at WBUR. Our radio shows, our podcasts are getting some of the biggest audiences we've ever had. Our journalism is winning awards, reaching new and more diverse audiences. And you are a big part of that. Our journalism has never been stronger, but the business has never been harder. We've had a big loss of sponsorship dollars, like a lot of media companies have in recent years. But one thing we've always been pretty good at is getting support from our listeners to make the things they love. So we're asking right now, in a crucial moment for WBUR, can you help us get through this by joining other listeners in supporting WBUR? We need your help to keep making the podcast you're listening to right now, along with everything else that comes from WBUR. Your help would mean a lot to me and to all of my colleagues. So please, head to our website, WBUR.org. Thanks.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. Last week, Stavros Papantoniadis, the owner of the Dorchester pizza joint Stashes, was arrested under disturbing allegations of abuse toward his undocumented workers, including violent attacks. He's also charged with one account of forced labor in federal court. Now, the situation at Stashes is extreme, but toxic and abusive work conditions are more common than you might think. So we want to talk about some of the ways workers are exploited and mistreated, as well as offer resources for those who feel they may be experiencing abuse. That's why our guest today is Pablo Carrasco, an attorney for Justice at Work, a Boston-based advocacy organization that offers legal support to low-wage workers in Massachusetts. Pablo, welcome to The Common.
Hey, Daryl. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah. So tell me more about Justice at Work.
So maybe I think the best way to talk about the work we do is maybe talk about a former client. So I'm just going to use an alias for now, but the gentleman was named Oscar. Mm-hmm. So Oscar was working at a restaurant in downtown Boston. You know, he negotiated with his boss to be paid $14 an hour. Mind you, this was in 2019. Mm-hmm. Works a week, gets his first paycheck. Turns out he was getting closer to $11 an hour. And then he tells his boss, says, hey, boss, what's going on? I was going to get $14 an hour. And he said, no, all I can give you is $11. Mm. So Oscar tells his boss, you know, I'm going to work one more week, but I'm going to get out of here. So he works another week. And then the second week, he never actually gets paid. What does Oscar do? He keeps texting his boss. And this continues for 6 months. It's a good bit of money. I think it was $1,400 he was owed. And he was stressing out. You know, he's got bills to pay. So he presented to Centro Presente, which is an immigrant rights organization located in East Boston, and they put him in touch with us. And we invited Oscar to our monthly Know Your Rights training, and there, you know, he learned about, you know, his right to minimum wage, overtime, sick leave, things like that. Mm-hmm. And after the training, we actually held an intake where we talked to him about his personal issues at work. You know, it was clear to us he was owed some money. So we actually filed a lawsuit in small claims court. Shortly after the case was filed, the employer reached out and said, hey, I want to take care of this, and sent us a check for $2,500. So, you know, this is just typical what happens. You know, workers not getting paid, but it's, you know, really hard to find workers who actually have access to legal resources. You know, for every Oscar, there's probably 10, 15 other workers. We just never get that second week of pay.
Got it. So with that said, what was your reaction when you heard about the abuse reported at Stash's Pizza?
You know, this was incredibly striking to hear about this.
It's such an extreme example.
That's what it was, Daryl. It was an extreme example. You know, we hear about the narrative of the undocumented worker and just everything they have to go through just to make a living. But hearing about, you know, physical assaults, a gentleman losing his teeth, sexual touching, things like that, it was just on an extreme that, you know, you don't see every day. Generally, it's a lot more subtle.
You know, like we said, these are pretty extreme allegations being made. And you just laid out an example of something that might be more commonplace where workers don't get paid or workers don't get the money that they negotiated. What are some of the other kinds of workplace violations you normally see?
It depends on the employer. You know, a lot of employers think they can get away with perhaps violating overtime. Minimum wage is a big violation. You know, not providing workers sick time as they're entitled to under Massachusetts law. Not giving workers rest breaks, making workers work off the clock, so before they punch in and after they punch out. Mm. I can keep going, you know, charging folks deductions for uniforms that are, you know, unlawful. It just keeps going and going.
So we're talking about this because of what happened at Stash's, which is a restaurant. How often would you say worker mistreatment happens in restaurants, and is there anything about that kind of workplace that makes it more common?
Gerald, it happens a lot. And why does it happen? It's tight quarters. Your manager is all over you. You work long hours. If you're working 50, 60, 70 hours a week, by the time you're out, most attorneys' offices are closed. The government closes at 4:30 most of the time, right? So, you know, who are you going to reach out to after hours? Mm. And the other thing is, you know, the amount of time you spend in there. You literally live in there. And once you leave, you might just be too tired to want to do anything about it.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like it's just a casual thing. It's something that's accepted as normal in the business, but folks don't see it for what it is, which is worker exploitation.
Oh, 100%. And Daryl, there's this narrative that, you know, especially within the immigrant community that, you know, I think is, you know, hurtful. It's this idea that, you know, an immigrant worker will do anything to have a job and get a paycheck. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes that includes, you know, working overtime and not getting paid the premium rate. You know, and many people who do get injured, when do they get injured? After 40 hours. Hmm. You know, that's why overtime exists. It's to keep people safe. It's to incentivize, you know, hiring more people.
Yeah. Explain the factors that may lead to situations where workers get exploited in this way.
Sure. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of factors. You know, I think what you saw in Stash's, which is something that happens, you know, in a lot of restaurants, is that the worker is undocumented, right?
Yep.
You know, what does that mean? I don't think being undocumented means you're powerless, right? I just think it just creates a certain sort of fragility for the worker. Mm-hmm. You know, and employers, a lot of the times, they know this. Sometimes they don't even ask for the paperwork at hiring, or they'll do it themselves. You know, I've seen that a lot. And, you know, rather than sort of giving someone an opportunity, they're giving someone an opportunity, but they're doing it because they can take advantage of that person. So we see that happen a lot. And the only way, you know, you can actually sort of counter that power imbalance, because that's what it is. That's what a workplace is. It's power balances. And generally, it's tremendously in favor of the employer. But when a worker is informed about their rights and they're potentially even organized with other workers, that's when the power, you know, dynamic shifts in favor of the worker. And that's when working conditions get better. That's when, you know, pay goes up and worker treatment is just, you know, generally better all around.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back.
Politics has never been stranger or more online, which is why the politics team at Wired is making a new show, Wired Politics Lab. It's all about how to navigate the endless stream of news and information and what to look out for. Each week on the show, we'll dig into far-right platforms, AI chatbots, influencer campaigns, and so much more. Wired Politics Lab launches Thursday, April 11th. Follow the show wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. If a worker believes they are experiencing abuse or are being taken advantage of, what can they do? You know, you're speaking about this worker power and kind of leveling the playing field when they know their rights. What can they do to exercise those rights?
Great question, Daryl. I think the first thing that a worker should do, no matter what, is always document their hours. You know, under Massachusetts law, the employer has to maintain an accurate record of your hours.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? They don't do it all the time. So for workers, it's really important to document your hours. Second, you know, how do you get access to legal support? Go to a worker center. You know, worker centers are, you know, community organizations that are there to support immigrant workers. It could be, you know, new workers to the area. The worker center out in Framingham, Centro Comunitario de Trabajadores in New Bedford. You have MassCosh here in Boston. There are many of them, many of them. And what these organizations do is they provide training to workers about workplace rights. They also provide, you know, mutual support. So during COVID, a lot of them were giving out, you know, food baskets and financial assistance. But they also help workers, you know, understand their rights and to become better organized. They don't actually organize the workers. They just let workers know that they have these rights. And then organically out of these trainings, workers say, hey, you know, let's get together and do something about what's happening at the workplace. You know, a worker who's informed about their rights is much less likely to be taken advantage of in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
It's this idea of not knowing that creates fear. It's the unknown. But if you know, you know, after 40 hours, I get time and a half. You know, after 6 hours, I get a 30-minute break. If you know these things, it's less likely your employer will take advantage of you.
Mm. Pablo, what can we as consumers do to avoid supporting workplaces that mistreat workers?
Daryl, one of the first things a consumer can do is just look at the data. Currently, the Attorney General, the Fair Labor Division, they have all of their enforcement data, I think going back to 2015, publicly available online. Similarly, the Department of Labor and the Wage and Hour Division that looks into generally overtime in restaurant cases, they have their information publicly available online as well. So just be informed before you go out, you know, take a couple minutes, go online, you know, see if they've been cited for something. You might find something that surprises you. You can also support the worker centers that support these workers financially. You know, another thing you can do is, this is something I do in my personal life, is if I go to a restaurant and the back of the house, the kitchen is sort of hidden away and you can't see anything, think about why that is.
Mm.
I like going to restaurants where the kitchen is open. I can smell the food. I can hear the workers speaking, you know, sometimes laughing. You know, they're having a good time. That's something I want to see.
Mm. Well, Pablo, thank you so much for talking to us about this. Last week, we had a discussion about accountability in the restaurant industry, and we kind of wanted to take this opportunity to just make it clear that we're not only talking about these prestigious restaurants, right? We're also talking about, you know, your local pizza joint, your local sandwich shop. These are places that feed us as well, and these are places that run because of its workers. So everybody's stories are valid, and everybody deserves to work in a safe environment where they're, you know, treated with dignity. And on that note, listeners, we want to keep this conversation going. So if you have experience working in a Boston kitchen and have a story or thoughts on this episode, we want to hear from you. You can reach us on Instagram, Twitter, or TikTok at WBURTheCommon or by email at thecommon@wbur.org. Pablo, thanks so much for joining us.
Daryl, it was great, and thank you for covering this important issue.
That's Justice at Work attorney Pablo Carrasco. And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.